Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Spandex makes me horny. Got a stash. Got a stash. Got a stash. Got a patch. It's just kidding. No, for real. I'm serious. This is Jess. Just kidding. You don't know who I am? Get the fuck out. Got a bad. Got a bad. Drag is the new.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back again. It is another season of Brewcaps. It's been a hot minute since we've done this. It's been a lot of, like, let's catch up mid-season and do a retrospective on the season so far. And at the end, we talk again about the season as a whole, or the holes that we want to season. I don't know, something like that. But we have reached the Rucropolis, the pinnacle of All-Star Z-ness. We have reached All-Star 7, the all-winner season of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I felt, for me, this is a season deserving of some recognition of each of the episodes. We are not going to do full-out deep dives, like let's go through minute by minute, frame by frame of what has happened. But we're going to give these queens their due. We're going to give them their roses for these episodes. So, like the pit stop, I may be joined by different people as we go from week to week, but you will get to hear different voices and opinions on this season of Drag Race, one that I'm sure is going to be RuPaul's best friend race, at least from the edit. And I'm not mad about that. Joining me on this first episode to dish about episodes 1 and 2, it is Flame On House member and deep friend of our pod, it is Joel. What's up, Joel?
Not much. I'm so happy to be the first guest here to talk about this All-Stars, all-winner season. It's very good so far, so I'm excited.
Oh my god, like, we knew you were on with Dan and myself and Brian. Was Eric? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric was on that episode as well when we dished about season 14 and the finale of that. And we chatted briefly about All-Star 7. You had to dip out just before we got into that convo, but it was pretty much a consensus amongst all of us that we were excited for this season. And it has not disappointed yet. Two of, I think, 12 episodes have aired as of the time of this recording, and this will go out just before the new episode airs. They air Fridays on Paramount Plus. Plus, if you are a Race Chaser listener, a little plus action for you. And I love how I think we all kind of giggled and scoffed at Disney for doing Disney Plus, and then after that, everybody else is like, fuck it, we're just adding Plus to the end of our streaming service too.
Yeah, the one that tickled me the most was when it was Mom Plus, and I was like, all right, now All right, you two.
And I love the fact that their website, I think, is what, mom.plus? I was like, mm-hmm. we really are just taking this plus and running with it.
Exactly.
But we are going to look at these episodes from essentially a 30,000 foot view. Just like we talk about the seasons, we're going to talk about the good, the maybe not as good, because this edit is very favorable to everybody on this cast, which I'm sure was part of the way that they got them all to compete, because I know if I won a season, I would not be coming back and be made look like Boo Boo the Fool up on that TV in an all winter season. And we're going to chat about some individual things that we just found outstanding. And I just want to say one thing before we start. Is this my camera? Is this my camera? Is my new, I want it on a shirt. I want that as merch. Is this my camera?
Oh, God.
I can't do a Judy Garland impression, but is this my camera is my new catchphrase. Thank you, Jinx.
As it should be.
And Judy Garland. So let's dive into episode one. This was our return into the workroom for these queens. Some of them have been in the workroom more recently than others. But Joel, what were some of your highlights and your standouts for the queens entering the workroom for All Stars, All Winners, All Legends, season 7?
I mean, obviously Shea Coulee, I think, is kind of always serving, always gives you what you want. And I don't think this season was any disappointment. I loved that orange look that she walks in and just, you know, it's Shay. She's confident. She's owning it. And she's like, oh, of course, first one in again. I'm just like, I loved it.
I love that her compact wasn't actual orange.
Yes, that too. Love that little detail. Also, just like the belt that dangled, like as she was walking, just it all so good. So good. I thought she had one of the best looks as far as the entrance looks goes. The other I was excited for, and this is just one of the queens that I'm excited for being on the season, is Jinx. Her outfit was very Jinx, but I loved her entrance line. Like, she just walks in and goes, line, and looks around very confused, and then cackles like she does, which makes me so happy. And every time she does it, the confessional is so good, too. But I think those were
very
my two
much...
standouts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was very much Ben did a similar thing, because it was that evolution or heightened modification of a look from her season.
Yeah.
Because that was kind of a similar aesthetic to what she walked in on season 5 looking like. But now that really elevated, literally took the title of Next Drag Superstar and just fucking ran with it and has killed it in the world out there. So yeah, I 100% agree with those two. Raja is always a hit or miss for me as a personality.
Yeah.
But that look was just stunning. Did somebody call for an icon? Raja's voice kills me. I fucking live. And the look overall was just, was so good. It was so good. And I enjoyed Monet's.
Yes.
It was a step up for her from her last two entrance looks. Girl, I ain't gonna shame nobody for a bodysuit. But this was so much cuter. And she just... I mean, the money guns were kind of a silly little thing, especially because they weren't working well.
Yeah,
she was Alyssa Huntering.
Yeah, it was surprisingly a very little amount of money. I was like, if it had like just been all over, it would have been amazing. But it was just like two little deet, deet, deet. It was like, okay, we're done now.
Like, I'm pretty sure they have some medication to help with making them shoot further and farther. And
yeah.
More voluminous amounts of shooting that happened.
Yeah. Or I mean, at least they had to have some prop money back there from somewhere that they could have loaded those things with. I mean, something. But I agree. I like this outfit from Monet. I don't always care for like the really casual looks, but I do think this one is elevated enough. The thing that has now bothered me, because Bob pointed it out, Bob and Nicole Byers on the pit stop pointed it out, were the things on the shoulders, and now that's all I can look at and be like, you're right, what is up with that?
I love Bob going, I'm just gonna preface this by saying I'm not gonna play favorites. And then Nicole Byer going, why did you have to say that? Because now it sounds like you're going to play favorites or you're going to have favoritism. I was like, yeah, that's absolutely right. But at the same time, like, you know, there are queens that I've worked with. Like, I adore Monet. I've worked with Monet a number of times. I've worked with Jinx a number of times. They're both amazing people. I've worked with Trinity. Anyway, my feelings can go either way. When it comes down to having worked with these queens beforehand.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But I'm also going to call a spade a spade. If I think that something isn't great, I'm going to say something's not great. So,
for sure.
Whatever. I will be biased, but I will also be honest and accurate. So.
Exactly.
That's how we do here on Flame On. Were there any entrances that maybe didn't live up to the hype?
I'm maybe showing a little bit of bias against one. It's probably not the one you think.
Say her name.
The Vivian is the one. The Vivian was the one I didn't care for. Yeah, I did not care for the Vivian. I like the concept. I like the horn hair, but then just the neck down, I'm like, what is this outfit? This is what
you see that.
The outfit was mostly the hair, and then everything else underneath it was just like, sure, okay. I'm going to be comfortable today.
I'm not mad about being comfortable. Was it like, either. Knock my socks off? No. But at least it was cute.
Yes.
It wasn't the comfy couture that Willow Pill walked into the workroom in. So,
which I would have laughed if one of them did it. Was just like, well, I already won. Why did I have to show y'all anything?
Right. That would have been, and then have to be in front of Naomi Campbell doing a runway walk.
Yeah, it was. I know the one you expected, but it's the Vivian for me, and that's also a thing I'm probably gonna have to work like to not be against, because just something about the Vivian has always not worked for me. But that's just me. I understand if others love her, but for me, it just doesn't quite work. And so, yeah, her entrance, I was like, I like the idea of the hair, just everything underneath it, I'm like, could have been anything else.
She wasn't my favorite or my pick to win UK season one.
Nope, mine either.
I was a Bag of Chips fan. I mean, I knew that she wasn't going to win, but I kind of thought that Davina would win. But at the same time, knowing that Vivian was the Drag Race ambassador, I kind of felt that no matter what happened, and I mean, she did well. It's not like she didn't perform well.
Yeah.
But you kind of felt like it was coming no matter what happened.
It was a very all-stars one where it was like, oh, of course you're going to give this to Chad. Like, obviously, that's why we're here right now. Got it. Cool. But yeah,
Chad's old. She's probably going to die soon. So we wanted to make her happy.
She can't die. She shares next vessel. Come on now.
Have you not watched Drag Queens reading mean tweets?
Mm-mm, I have.
Oh my god. I think there's a couple of them, but one of them has one of the ones that Chad reads is some like random tweet, and it's like poorly written anyway. But it's like, Chad about to die. We probably just wanted to make him happy.
Oh my god,
it's horrible.
That is horrible.
It is so horrible. But yeah. No, I agree. For me, Trinity.
Yeah,
I don't even know what the fuck that was. That was just a mess.
It is. It's too many looks, like pieces of looks being put together. Again, it's one of those, like, I like the concept where we're going. Like, I like the idea of the feathers. I like the one in the hat. And I like the purple and the green together. But I don't like this weird fetish madam combination she's got going on. It's just a lot.
For me, it felt like a really bad Alexis Mateo outfit. Because was it AS1 where she came in with the eye cover?
It was,
Pointy. Mm-hmm. The Ouija board, the... Oh God, what is that thing called? The thing that moves around, that you move around. Planchet or the plancha?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Something like that. I know it's similar to that.
Be over here, like, can I look it up real quick?
It's fine. Somebody will just yell it at their speakers when they're listening to the show later.
Planchet.
Planchet. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I knew it was trying to throw a little Spanish spin. A little plancha. Yeah. Throw the plancha. It was on Alexis Mateo. It was plancha.
So. Yes. You're not wrong. Yes, I can absolutely see that. Yeah. Now that you've said it, it's like, okay, I can totally see this being Alexis Mateo. Like, yeah, it's a thing I think queens do too much, where it's like they overthink the outfit and it's like, well, we're going to put this on it and this and this. And it's like, take the last five things. Don't just take two, take five off, because you've gone way overboard.
Which is weird because, people have probably heard this on the podcast. I know I've taken some of it out in editing, yes, in post-production, but I do not like Trinity the Tuck. That is just, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But her entrance looks in season 9 and All-Stars 4 may not have been my favorites, but they were put together well. Like, they were, which that whole zip tie dress that she came in with with the body bag thing. Like, it, she can put together, and I mean, her outfits on the runway, the looks are there, but this look was not it. Ooh, this was like three different ideas were thrown out. She was like, you know what? I could do this S&M look, or I could do this feathered look, or you know what? Maybe make my face look like a Ouija board. And then somehow the designer was like, oh, got it. And just put everything together and said, here you go. And then she put it on and wore it into the workroom. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. We're not going to harp on that anymore, though. So the queens are all in the workroom. The first thing that happens, I mean, I don't really want to even spend that much time on it. I was mad when this happened anyway. A ninth figure walks in the room. What did you think of this whole chicanery that happened?
I was 90% sure it was a joke. Because I was like, no way in hell is RuPaul putting the person that does his makeup on this show again. Because what's Ru going to do?
You see RuPaul sitting in the workroom, Raven's painting her and herself.
Yeah, like I was like, there's no way. But then there was like 10% of me that was like, what if they did, though? And I'm just like, oh, no. Thankfully, it was a joke and we don't have to deal with that. But what did you think? I'm curious.
First of all, the best tweet that I fucking read was something along the lines of apparently Raven could only expense account foundation if it's in Rue's shade. And I fucking cackled.
Oh my God.
Because the people who put up pictures of Raven from her season versus Raven now. Ma'am, Rachel Dolezal called and told you that's a little too much, baby.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just like, I don't know. You know, it's her face, it's her body, I guess. But I'm like, that is a choice that she has made. My favorite tweet that I've seen is, if you're a Pokemon fan, during the Alola region, Professor Oak has a cousin, which is just tan Professor Oak. And someone put regular Professor Oak as season 2 Raven. And then the tan Professor Oak is All-Star 7 Raven. It was very funny. I'm like, okay, you're not wrong.
Yeah, but when you're of Eastern European descent,
yeah,
and you're that dark, there are some issues that need to be addressed there, potentially. Not by me, because who the fuck am I? I'm just some faggot on the internet, with a podcast. So,
yeah,
whatever. But yeah, I'm glad that was just a little chicanery and foolery that was happening. But after their skit where RuPaul slaps her, it felt very much like a callback to season two. Yeah, their video, the video scenes that are never actually used in the videos between like seasons one through seven.
Yeah.
We're going to film all of this extra stuff that's never going to be part of the video, but we're saying is part of the video. And so we show you the video, and then you realize that none of it is there. Although I think season seven did use some of that footage as like B-roll in the video, but it was so weird. So weird. Anywho.
Yeah.
After that, obviously, in the grand tradition of All Stars, seasons two through now, the library opens up, and we get some great reads, and then we get some okay reads. Were there any big highlights for you from the reading challenge?
I mean, it's a simple one, but Jinx's read of Monet. She's like, I know everyone compares you to Bob, but I don't see it. Bob is talented. I'm just like, that's perfect. Mwah, beautiful. And I think Jinx had, I mean, obviously she won. So she had the best reads overall. And I mean, I love Raja being like, well, I don't do this, so we're going to make it real easy. And just spells booger across the room and walks back.
I love the fact that she like went to hand back the monocle to Rue and just didn't even care and just dropped it. And Rue was like, oh, never mind. It's on the floor now. Jinx calling Raja Roger was just so simple. It was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. One of the things that made me giggle was not even one of the reads. It was the response to one of the reads where, oof, was it Vivian? I'm not sure. I don't remember who said it, but they were like, Evie, your dad is so hot. And Evie responds with, I know, right? And then she goes, what happened to you? And then Evie goes, I know, right? Like, that was...
Yeah.
When you can take the piss out of a read like that, it is fantastic. And that's one of the things that I know that the queens have said about like trying to read Jinx, is that you will come up with a shady little read, and Jinx will find a way to come back with an even funnier retort. And they didn't highlight it as much on the show, but I feel like it happened on every single read that was directed to her. And I love it.
Yeah, it just, again, I think it's a thing that's I would say about this whole show is just like, because this cast has so much personality and all of them are so talented, it makes all of these challenges better. Because like, a bad cast can make the reading challenge bad. You know, season 11. Not to call out anyone in particular, but
it's like a nutmeg ganache. What?
Yep. But yeah, I just, again, like, the only thing I thought about though is when it got to Shay, I saw the haters roast when she was part of the cast and she went first out of everyone, and she got a couple chuckles. But the thing I remember is later on in the show, when Latrice was on stage and doing her bit, Shay came up with some retort and Latrice turns to her and goes, oh, you got jokes now. And that's all I can think of anytime I see Shay trying to read. I'm like, oh no, you're doing okay, baby. Go, go, go.
I mean, you know, sometimes it's not their skill.
It's not their skill. Yeah. Some have shade reading skills, others have other skills. But yeah, it was overall, I thought it was really good. And I mean, just Jinx nailed it across the board for this one.
Absolutely. The other one, and oh God, it's so bad that it's not sticking out for me 100%. But Monet, who's it? Was it talking about like Jinx's? Was it Jinx's teeth? It's like the whole, it's like the cast. Some are big, some are small, some are white. Yeah. And then she was like, oh, hey, Vivian, thanks for being the diversity hire on this cast. She's like, you're one of two. Oh, wait, there's three white queens here. It made me giggle. Like, Monet lives for the reads and was also another fantastic one. But absolutely agree. Jinx slaughtered the reading competition, and it made it so much more fun. Before we get to the main challenge, Naomi Campbell is introduced to the girls, and they have to do their runway walk and get critiqued. So how many tears did you shed during Shay talking to Naomi Campbell?
I welled up a couple times. I loved her reaction to just seeing Naomi Campbell. She like almost fell over and died. Just the look of shock on her face. It was adorable. I'm happy for her. You know, kudos to get to meet one of her idols. That's just amazing.
This, no matter what happens for Shay out of this season, Naomi Campbell, getting to meet Naomi Campbell, be critiqued, tell her walk is perfection, all of that, having that moment. And then on top of that, when they went on The View, she's been a huge Whoopi Goldberg fan for her life. And then she did this drawing of Whoopi when she was 15, I think it was.
Yeah.
Her early teens, somewhere 13, 15, somewhere in there. And got to show it to and give it to Whoopi Goldberg in person and told the story about how her mom said, you should mail that to her. And she's like, no, she gets so much mail, it'll get lost. I'll give it to her one day. And she got to fulfill that dream. Yeah. So, I mean, good for Shay. Good for Shay. No matter what, this was just a brilliant piece of life for her. And I'm so happy for that.
Oh, I know.
So let's go on to the main challenge, the maxi challenge of this episode, writing a verse for RuPaul's song Legends. And then the girls had to choreograph themselves. Any standouts for you from the song / performance?
I mean, they all did good. I think the song challenges when there's eight queens don't work as well, because like it feels like there's not enough music, and it feels like after a certain point it's just looping the music so they all have the same verse structure, and it's like, okay, someone else come up, okay, you go up, okay, you go up, and it's just like, doesn't make it very dynamic. And I love them for trying to give easy choreography for everyone, but a bit of it was like real simple, like arm up, arm down, arm up, arm down. But I mean, overall, I think Shay did good. I think, you know, Monet can sing and did well. I do want to give props to Jada for having fun with hers. She's like, I can't sing, so I'm going to do this thing. It was fine. It was a fine challenge. It's just, I think these musical or the song challenges so early are a little odd, especially with such a big cast.
Yeah, and for me, Shay's verse was phenomenal. Monet's was fantastic. Viv's voice, like, I may not have like 100% been like, oh my god, this is the most powerful and amazing verse. I did like her lyrics though. I thought they were cute, and I thought it encapsulated her journey, and then this whole idea of Legends. But then hitting that note at the end, like, she just sounded fantastic. And I did enjoy them incorporating that like deity hand thing for Raj's at the beginning.
That was cute. Yes.
Any lowlights from the challenge for you?
No, I don't think anyone did terrible at it. I think it was actually a pretty good, like, overall they did really well. The biggest, like, I think the only downside I would say is, like, I wish they would have, like, somehow gotten these queens to wear similar outfits, because there was just a lot of different looks on that stage, and some went one direction, some went another direction. It was just like, I don't know where to look, because y'all are all so different looking.
Yeah, I mean, Evie's wig was an affront to nature. I will say, I loved Shay's verse. I did not like Shay's outfit. It did not look
bad.
Right.
Hair was good though.
Hair, face, perfect. Outfit, Not my favorite.
Yeah. And I love Jinx. The outfit she wore was very Jinx, but it was just like, and seeing her in like a bodysuit. Because she's normally
a ready to do so outfit.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it was. It was very much that. Yeah, I just, again, like, I wish they would have given them some style prompt, like either be like, all wear gold or all wear silver or something, because it was just chaos on that stage.
Yeah, yeah. And who was it? Maybe it was Raja that kept throwing me off on, like, with the little, she was wearing like the blonde bob.
Yeah.
And it threw me off. I was like, who is that?
Yeah, because it was a weird hair choice for her, because I can't.
We're not used to that ever.
Yeah, it's usually like a pulled back hair or like a little bit longer. It was a very odd
choice. Big and poofy.
Yes.
Like Raja's known for either like slick back or big and like airy, almost like cloud like hair, which she wears in her runway, which we'll get to in just a second. But that little, it was a Mamma Mia Cher, but in a bob. Mm-hmm. That's what her hair read to me.
Yes.
And I was not a fan of it.
No, it was a very odd choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, speaking of the runway, prompt is I'm crowning, which takes me back to DragCon New York 2018, where I was with two of my friends that I made at DragCon the first year, which was 2017. I think it was 2017, 18, and 19 were the 3 years that we had New York DragCon. It was towards the end of the day, and we passed by Sasha Velour. And there is a picture of me as if Sasha Velour is birthing my head. And I was like, if I hear I'm crowning whenever it's related to Drag Race, I instantly go back to that moment in time where I was crowned from Sasha Velour's loins. A little story aside for you all.
Very nice, very nice.
So we hit the runway. This is their crown, eleganza, extravaganza, I'm a winner baby style look for this first episode. Who were your top toots? Did you have any shoots? Am I just going to keep on stealing from other podcasts and shows to come up with our lingo? Probably so.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly.
I would say the like tops for me were Jinx, Raja, and Shay. Because Raja came out in that just 18th century, you know, King George looking outfit. Just, it was so big. The outfit was like opulent and like so well done. And it was like an elevated version of her Marie Antoinette from season 3. It was so amazing, you know, face powdered white. Oh, it's just so good. And then you have Jinx in her like huge Elizabethan gown, and then she's able to pop a little leg out. And I loved her like halo of lights like around her head, and she had that like really light pale blonde hair. It just looked so good on her. And then Shay as this like African goddess was amazing. You know, she had the like ear prosthetics that gave her kind of the gauged ears. She had the like crown of hair. It just was beautiful, and that flowing outfit, just can't say enough about those three. I think those were the ones that just really killed it for this prompt. But what about you? What were your standouts?
Same with Raja, that elevated season 3 look at where I've come from 10 years later was phenomenal. Jinx, stunning on the runway. I will say that I liked Monet's outfit, and I know that it got read a bit on the pit stop. I actually thought it was phenomenal, and this goes back to a conversation that we had in our season 14 episode, when we were talking about Simone and her look for, it wasn't even the crowning, because they had her come out and just do her own bit for Miss Congeniality and yeah. some other stuff. But, you know, doing that, the t-shirt and jeans look, but taken to a different level. And it's the fact that I don't know offhand if Monet identifies on the trans spectrum at all, but to incorporate the trans pride colors was a great shout out, even if Monet does not identify on that spectrum. But Black trans lives are one of the most at risk and marginalized communities. So to have a proud Black queen up there sporting the trans pride colors was phenomenal. But I loved Bob. Bob had some things to say, but I love the track pants with the bustle. I thought that was a really fucking cool idea. And to do something that is so, like, essentially Black culture and then take it to this different level and then stone, like, the thing was, we saw her stoning that bustle.
Yeah.
Because that's when Jinx caught her and Trinity talking. But you didn't get to see kind of the detail or any of the details on it. And white is very difficult to read on camera.
Yeah.
And that was a majority white outfit. So I get it. But I still, I will go to bat for I liked, and then from the neck up, stunk.
Yeah, impeccable. Fucking yeah, stunk. Impeccable. I liked the idea of it. Like, I think the problem was, like, I think the bustles were too covered almost. Like, I needed them to be either a different color or more prominent. I liked the idea of it, but there was just something about that. I'm just like, it's not quite there for me. But I mean, she looked stunning. So who am I to judge? I couldn't do that.
Right. And I mean, and fashion is subjective. So. Yes. You know, if you are respectful, and that is the key word, if you're respectful of other people's views and opinions on an outfit, then that's what it's all about. It's all about discourse and seeing a different point of view, because that was something that, again, came from our conversation on our season 14 episode. Go back and listen to it, where a lot of people were like, the world was divided about Simone's look, and it's. Yeah. It's a matter of how you look at things, and drag isn't done one particular way or one specific way. And, you know, you've got to represent who you are and your culture and show the elevation. And I think that that was done. And that is my opinion about that one. So,
yeah, definitely.
But we have the top two legendary legends. We didn't even get into this, so now's a great time to chat about the rules and the regulations of this season. So every week after the main challenge, RuPaul will name the top two all-stars. Those two all-stars will receive a legendary legend star. I wanted at some point for somebody to just stop RuPaul and go, say legendary legends again.
just one more time.
One more time. Just say it again. Right? Oh my God. Ray Chaser needs to do that. Like the, like Jocelyn Fox's necklace, the thing where you hit with the hammer and it goes up and rings the bell. They did that every time Jocelyn Fox's necklace was on and Courtney's earrings, I think, also.
Yes.
So top two all-stars get legendary legend stars. Then they will lip sync, and the winner of the lip sync will receive a cash tip of 10,000 doll hairs, along with the ability to block another all-star from winning a legendary legend star in the following week's competition. That being said, if that queen wins the next week, they can still lip sync and win $10,000 hairs and the power to block, but they will not receive a legendary legend star. At the end of this competition, where there are no eliminations, but they told us there are no eliminations, so I'm okay with this.
Yes.
The top four queens with the most legendary legend stars will be the legendary legendiest legends of the legendary kingdom and have a legendary legends lip sync Lollapalooza battle smackdown. Okay, mama, yes, got okay. So essentially, if you win, you get a point and you can block somebody else. And the top two all-stars for this week, or this first episode, were Shea Coulee and Monet Exchange. And I think we can both agree that that was not an out-of-the-world pick for top two.
Makes sense.
However, the side choice, though.
But it was brilliant. Like,
oh my God, it was. But did you ever in your life, in 4,000 years, 400 million seasons of Drag Race, spanning 47 continents, ever think that Old MacDonald would be a lip sync song on Drag Race?
I couldn't believe it at first, and then it just was happening in front of me. And I was like, all right, cool, we're here, we're doing this. That being said, I will say, Shay's way of interpreting it was my favorite. The like body movements, the like giving each animal a very particular yes, and then doing one, two, like it was just. And that's not to say anything about Monet, because Monet, I think, is such a talented lip sync artist as well, because she puts like a vibe to every song she does. Because there's, you know, she was doing like, oh, she was getting tired, oh, she had to like prep herself before she could start singing. Like, it was all, both were doing great, but I think Shea just really edged out Monet in the song.
See, I think at the end of the day, Shea did. I, however, liked Monet's performance better. Yeah. But there were points where either she forgot the words or where she was at in the song.
Yeah.
But two, where she did the turnaround and walk up stage moment. But not even that. I don't even think that was what cost her the lip sync. What I think cost her the lip sync, potentially, I mean, I'm not sure if they had to tell the producers who they would block, and maybe that was part of the reason. But conjecture and conspiracy theories. But it was when there were points in the song where she stopped lip syncing because she was doing something.
Yeah.
Like, there was one point where she was like riding an ATV on the farm, it looked like. Yeah. I wouldn't even say motorcycle, because there's not a motorcycle on a farm, but I could see like an ATV on the farm. And she had a wider stance than when she did it during the Man, I Feel Like a Woman. But she'd stopped lip syncing and the song was still going. And that, for me, instantly lost the lip sync from what we were shown. But I think either which way, I think they were both phenomenal lip sync performances. But Shea is given the win. $10,000 hairs, and the platinum plunger, which sure as shit is not platinum.
Look, they said those words and some poor prop person had to try to figure that out, and they did what they could.
Put some silver fucking stones on it, not gold. That shit is gold as fuck.
I know, but look, they probably made that, and then Rue was like, oh, I'm going to say platinum plunger, and everyone was like, son of a bitch.
I was gonna say, did they give that job to the straight intern who was like, platinum? I guess gold is good enough.
They looked around what they had in the workroom. They were like, this'll do. All right, here we go.
Well, Shay's given the platinum plunger, and she chooses to block Trinity the Block Tuck Taylor Tuck. I don't know. Like, we'll hyphenate it in there somewhere. But Trinity the Block came back to bite her in the ass, because she is the blocked queen out of episode one. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad about it.
Nope. What did you think of the, like, walking down the line, the, like...
I thought it was ridiculous. My favorite part of it was the other queen's reactions.
Yes.
Like, Evie going to French her. Wait, was it Evie that went, or is it Raja that went to French her? Maybe it was Raja.
I think Raja went to French her.
Yeah. Yeah, it is ridiculous, and it is just like extra time that's being wasted for no reason. But I thought it was fantastic. I was not mad about it at all.
it shows why this cast is this cast, because they're all just so good that you could be like, we're going to have you walk around the stage. Just react. It'll be fine. Like, could you imagine the season 14 queens doing this?
No. At that point, I'd be like, can they all just go home? Like, we've had 47 weeks of no eliminations. Send somebody home, Rue.
Yes.
Yeah. And then Shay just walking up and going, you're blocked. That was beautiful.
I wish that was how they had to do it each time. I'm like, spoilers, that's not how it's done in the second episode, but I wish that's like what they would have done, is they have to go up and whisper it in their ear. Cause I just love it. It's like a mob boss hit. Like,
absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, not mad about Trinity getting blocked at all.
At all. Dear listeners, we are so glad to have you here on yet another season of RuCaps, as well as all the other podcasts that we have for you here on the Nerdy Show Network. You can check out our website at flameonshow.com. That's where we have all of our social media icons, as well as where you can find us on YouTube and our Twitch channels. You can also find a link to our Threadless shop, where you can pick up your very own Flame On swag. And there is a link to our Patreon. Or if you don't want to go from there, you can just go to patreon.com/flameonshow and then peruse our four levels, where you can join any one of those four levels and even become a house member like Joel is and be a guest on one of our roundup episodes. And then who knows, maybe be invited back for multiple other episodes afterwards. You can check all of that out at patreon.com/flameonshow. And again, our website, where you can find all of our social media and Twitch information and our Threadless shop, is at flameonshow.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, episode one down. Let's talk about episode two. Queens are back in the room, in the workroom. They're going to get ready to do the snatch game. No snatch game of love. No snatch game at sea. No other stuff. This is the original, the OG, the real motherfucking deal. The snatch game episode. Week one of these shows coming out, they dropped two episodes. They fed us right away. Mm-hmm. The big twist to this, though, is that not only are they doing one character, but they must perform as two different characters for a double dose of the snatch game. What was your thought when you heard that they were doing two characters for Snatch Game?
I was nervous as hell. I was like, oh boy. So they get not just one chance to mess this up, but two. And you know, coming off aka the worst Snatch Game in history last season, to come to this, I was a little trepidatious. I kind of can't wait to watch the pit stop with Bob, because you just know he's gonna rub in the fact that he's like, oh, kind of like me. Being the first to do two characters.
Wait, was Bob the first one to do two characters?
He did Carol Channing and Uzo Aduba.
Yeah. Wow, that is right. I mean, I knew that he did Uzo and then Carol Channing. But that's right. That was the first time that we had two characters on a Snatch game. Yeah, that's going to be a good one. We're recording this. The second episode of The Pit Stop for this episode that we're talking about right now just came out a couple of hours ago. So neither of us have watched it yet. And I was never a big Pit Stop watcher. But now I'm like, I'm hooked. After All Stars... What did I say? I watched most of All Stars 6. And then I think I watched almost all of the ones for season 14. Because Monet was just fantastic as the host there. And then I have Bob back. Like, Trixie, Monet, and Bob are all so different in how they are as hosts. But all just incredibly welcoming, warm, inviting, shady, brilliant hosts for The Pit Stop. Like, just cycle them through and I'll be happy. I'll be happy. I too was a little nervous, but with this cast of characters, aside from maybe two people, I thought that we were in pretty safe hands. So round one of the Snatch game, we have Jada as Prince, Jinx as Natasha Lyonne, Monet Archange as Mike Tyson, Raja as Madam of Wayland Flowers and Madam, Shekula as Elsa Majimbo, the Vivian as Joanna Lumley, Trinity as Lucy with an I. All her friends call her Lucy with an I. And Evie as Rico Nasty. So how many of these people did you know?
I knew everyone except Elsa Majimbo. That was the only one I did not know of.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know Elsa Majimbo. I didn't know Rico Nasty either. I'm not big into her.
That was of the names. That was the only one I did not know was Shay's.
Okay. Thoughts. Let's good, bad, indifferent. Let's just dive into it. There's so much from this. Let's just talk about it.
Let's start with with Monet as Mike Tyson. Because when I saw that's who she was, I was like, oh my God. And then just how she took it. It wasn't obvious. She went with this like really excited energy for him and like kept talking about how he wanted to fuck everyone in the ass and just like was... So easily it could have just been ear-biting jokes or like aggressive in a dumb way, but I think she found a really good path for that.
Apparently she had an ear gummy that she ate and they didn't like show, like they didn't really show it on the episode.
I saw her munching on it. Like you can see her from time to time eating it, but like that's about it. Yeah, but I was so impressed with something I would not have expected from her.
That scribble on the side of her face.
Mwah, beautiful, perfection. Like, I mean, also, because Mike Tyson will probably sue if she drew it, because, like, remember The Hangover.
oh, my God.
yeah, because he sued them for using his tattoo. So, like, I'm sure she was just like, well, but it was very cool. She made me cackle just every time she was talking as Mike Tyson. The other one that there's a bunch in this first wave, but like Jinx's Natasha Lyonne blew me away because she mimics Natasha Lyonne's speech patterns and like her cadence so perfectly. And just like the way that Natasha Lyonne tells jokes, which is like, you know, the her being like, well, I quit smoking today as she's lighting a cigarette. And Rue's like, well, what about the, she's like, I didn't say it was going well. She had this like perfect energy as Natasha Lyonne that I was just so impressed with. And it's like, of course this came from Jinx. Like it's well studied. It's well crafted. The other, I mean like Raja is Madam. Like
so good.
It's just the poles for the arms, the prosthetic on the face to mimic the puppet face. And just the way she was like flailing herself around the whole area. just again, it's, this whole cast is so talented. And then just, I mean, I think the Vivian is Joanne Lumley. Like she was perfect. Like she nailed it. I'll say it again. Prada. Prada.
Chanel. Yeah. Chanel. Sorry. She was like, and I love Chanel. Yeah. Oh, well, maybe they'll send you some. Well, then I'll say it again. I love Chanel. Like Chanel. That was just like. Or when she wrote down whatever the answer was, like old then, Clown Road.
Yes.
And I wrote Chanel.
I just.
So good.
Just, well, like, and then, like, Trinity's Lucifer, like, again, it was one note and it was kind of obvious, but I was just like, you know what? This is so dumb that I'm okay with it.
And speaking of so dumb, but I was okay with it, Jada Essence Hall is Prince.
I don't know why.
I loved it. Because it was so bad. So bad it was good. But she was just like,
the lip thing was what killed me. Just so she kept just lifting her lip. It just like, it was a solid 15 seconds of her just lifting her lip. I think it's because she just played it cool. She didn't let it bother her. She knew she wasn't doing great. So she's just like, okay, cool, I'm here. I'm going to just be as like calm as I can be. And that's a skill. That's a skill. When shit's going wrong and you're just like, well, I'm going to roll with it. That's a skill to have. So like, kudos to Jada in that moment.
Well, and the good thing is that she was getting laughs. And because of doing this ridiculous, the most ridiculous things, and when you're in a situation like that, obviously your goal is to make Rue laugh, to make the panelists laugh, just to make people laugh. So when that's happening, like, you can just still, you can roll with it.
Yeah.
And her, just the way that she sat, because we all know Prince was not a tall person. So the way that she was sitting in the chair to make him smaller, I thought was fantastic. And then, like, when she, like licked her thumb and then like went down her chest a little bit, like it was so ridiculous. It was brilliant. Like I couldn't even. But I 100% agree with you. Like Madam was, the question was like, Michelle Visage is going to be the host of Drag Race New Jersey. That question, and they go to Madam and Rue's like, have you ever been to New Jersey? And she's like, absolutely fucking not. It was like, oh, so good. So fucking good. And even the points where it may not have been so great, like the Rico Nasty responses may not have been the best, they still edited to not be so bad. So like, they really are just doing all of these queens the best favor in not showcasing anything that could potentially be seen as a negative kind of take on their performance. And I'm not mad about it. Still not mad about it.
No.
Because these queens are all amazing queens and deserve to have a spotlight on them.
For sure. And I mean, even like the thing also is the second half that we're about to discuss tops this first half even. Like, it just, as good as this first half is, when it gets into the second half with the other characters, it just amazing. Well,
let's go into round two. I'm going to go in reverse order. Mm-hmm. So Evie is the boogeyman. Trinity is Leslie Jordan. Viv is Catherine Tate. Shea Coulee as Miss J. Alexander. Raja as Diana Vreeland. Monet Archange as Martin Lawrence, aka we can't say the name but because it's a copyrighted character, but Shanaynay.
Yeah.
Jinx as Judy Garland. Breaking the Snatch Game. Just broken. And then Jada Essence Hall as the Lady Chablis. Go for it. Take it away. Let's do this.
It's Jinx, right? Like, we have to talk about Jinx and how phenomenal this Judy Garland was. Like, from the, you know, is this my camera, to the, like, you know, breaking into song halfway through. Like, one of the best ones is at the beginning where she looks confused and she's looking around at everyone, and Rue gets there and she's like, well, I think I've been doing this wrong. I think I'm supposed to be dirty. You know, if you want a dirty story, I'll tell you a dirty story. It's just like, this was Jinx's show, and this everyone else could have gone home, and she could have just sat there for 10 minutes just riffing as Judy Garland. And then to reference Dave, her military makeover from season 5, just was the cherry on top and just amazing.
I can't even. It, like, is honestly, it's too much.
It, like, honestly, no more Snatch Games. This is it. Like, she did it. No one else needs to try. We already got it. We're good.
The Candy Muse sandwich. It's steak and eggs in between two pork chops. I used to make it for Liza when she was cranky. First of all, I want one of those now. I want steak and eggs in between two pork chops, because that sounds fucking delicious. I'll be cranky if that's going to be made for me. But now that we're at the halfway part, at the halfway mark, it's time for a song. And then her pulling the fucking cord.
Yes,
and then wrapping the cord around her, like, or over, draping it over her shoulder.
God, it was just perfection.
Oh my god. Do we have time for one more? Gentlemen, start your engines.
Well, and, like, and it's great.
Them showing the other queens just
breaking,
fucking losing it at that moment.
they said, either, like, I can't remember if it's Shay or Monet, they're like, well, the reason why it's tight on Jinx the entire time is because we're all just fucking losing it around her. And just like, because, I mean, what do you do when that's happening next to you? I want to fucking cry. I mean, Michelle was laughing so hard. She could not contain herself. It was so fucking funny. It was just amazing. Like, I don't want to discredit everyone else in that, but that was, like, Jinx deserved that win. Like, bar none.
The best woman wins. They changed it to drag queen.
Like, we can move on to the others now. We can talk about the other highlights, because, I mean, like, I think Trinity as Leslie Jordan was good. Just the beginning, when all you see is the top of her head.
Somebody give me a boost. The boogeyman, I got you. Like, throws him off. Like, oh, that was, yeah. I'm not a Trinity fan, but I will say, the only thing that I would say is Trinity was Trinity.
Yes,
and I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Jada's. Jada was Jada as Prince and as the Lady Chablis.
Yeah,
and there wasn't much modification of themselves into that character. Although Leslie Jordan was a little bit more of a Leslie Trinity cocktail.
Yeah.
Lucy, or Lucifer, I don't know if that was, I'm sure if people listening to this, they've seen the fucking show. Yeah. But Lucy was very much just Trinity.
Yeah.
With red paint on.
Yeah.
But it did make me think of Montero, Call Me By Your Name video, mm-hmm. and all of that. So I was like, okay, I'm fine with that. I will give it to Trinity. I did enjoy her performance in this. Deanna Vreeland, such a night and day from Robbie Turner in season 8. Like, well, you would never even thought that Deanna Vreeland was ever done on the show before. But Raja was amazing as Deanna Vreeland.
That makeup was insane. Just like, looking at her, I was like, I can't, I know it's Raja, but I can't see it in all of the, like, it was very good. Like, I don't think she got a lot of highlight moments, because, like, obviously Jinx was kind of all consuming in that, but I did think she did great, and I thought she looked wonderful as Diana Vreeland.
I think she didn't get as much highlight because while her jokes were funny, they weren't side-splittingly funny.
Yeah.
She was doing the mannerisms in the bodega. Yeah. I went to go to a bodega. Like, she was doing the Diana Vreeland, like, thing,
yeah.
But it wasn't the same it wasn't haha, laugh out loud, side splitting, slapping my knee funny.
Yeah.
Where it was entertaining. It just wasn't, but it was an amazing impersonation. It was an amazing performance as Deanna Vreeland, yeah, for sure. The one thing that kind of sucked, I'm not as, like, I don't know Catherine Tate in all of her facets.
Yeah.
So I didn't really know this Catherine Tate version, or like this, if it's from the Catherine Tate show or whatever. I know her, yeah, as Donna. And like in my head, yeah, it's always like, it's always a Who related type of thing. Yeah. So the Catherine Tate-ness of it all didn't resonate as much with me. I'm sure it did more with Rue and Michelle, because they've also spent a lot of time in the UK and very much a part of that, until they do Drag Race UK and then don't understand the references being made in their Snatch game. But whatever, that's neither here nor there.
I did love her, like, the first kind of opening bit with Catherine Tate, though, where she is speaking English, and it just is, like, having to be subtitled. That I thought was
brilliant. Isn't she Scottish?
Oh, Scottish, yeah. Yeah.
Is she? But no, no, because I know Tennant was Scottish. And maybe she is English. But either way, with that heavy accent, yes, and them having to put up the subtitles, that was a brilliant move, and that was great for production as well, to do that shit and put the subtitles up there to make it all work that way.
Wikipedia says English actress, so we're gonna go with that's what it is.
Yeah, and I was saying it, I was like, because they did was it Red Nose Day? I think Catherine Tate and Tennant did a skit, and she was a student, and he was like the substitute teacher, but he was speaking in his Scottish accent, and yeah, she was like giving him shit because she couldn't understand him, even though they were both speaking English. Yeah. So yeah, that's where I was like, I think I knew I was conflating something there, but
yeah,
I mean, well, still looked fantastic and was great.
Yeah, a friend of mine was telling me that, like, this is apparently a character from her show, and apparently the character's big, like, take is it's an older, like, racist woman. So I'm just, maybe, I don't know if maybe some of the jokes maybe crossed the line, and that's why we didn't get to see them. But I liked what she did and what they showed. I don't think it just was, like, a standout compared to the others in this panel of characters. Yeah. I kind of feel the same way about Shay's Miss Shay.
Yeah, yeah. Although I did love, and this was one of the Viv's like standout moments on this part for me, where it was the Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, oh, yeah, Chris Pine question, and Shay was doing the whole like, oh, this guy named Chris, whatever, messed up my hair, so I'll never say the name Chris. Like, and then Viv yells down, "You said it. You just said it three times." Like. That was fun, and I enjoyed that. But
yeah,
Miss J was fine, but again, not really anything to write home about.
Yeah, I feel like there was more to embody with Miss J, because like what I think of is bigger, like it's bigger reaction. It's like I think Shay was playing it very like nice.
Yeah,
I also kind of felt the same way about Monet as Martin Lawrence. I was like, I remember Shanae on the Martin show, and that was a way bigger character. Yeah. And I don't know, yeah, maybe she didn't want to play it up that big, but I was just like, I expected more from that part. But I, like, again, I think Jinx was also this all-encompassing black hole on this panel that, like, she was gonna carry that whole thing herself.
His dick was so big that when I was snorting a line of cocaine off of it, I had to stop halfway through to catch my breath. Done. Dead. I deceased. I always wanted to know, what is over the rainbow? What's over that rainbow?
Oh,
it was cardboard. It was a set. I mean, it wasn't real. Like, what did you call RuPaul Room?
Yes.
Like, just, I can't. I can't even. It's just all of it. Brilliant.
Perfection.
And I am so happy that it's on Paramount Plus, for the sole fact that it is not censored, because I watched it again last night on YouTube. They put up the entire 21 minute. This is a 21 minute Snatch game. This is nothing to joke about. This is a full fucking 21 minute Snatch game. And having it censored took something away from me. I was like, it was, you lose a little bit of it. Like, and going back to like Monet as Mike Tyson, I'm gonna fuck him in the ass. Like, you know, like you lose bit of that joke and that the whole Mike Tyson-ness of it when it's censored.
Yeah,
but it was the Jinx show. It was the Judy Garland variety hour starring Judy Garland and some other people that were there as well. Just amazing. So
sure.
We go from the Snatch Game to the runway, which the theme is, I'm going to try not to sing, the Pleather Principle. It's the Pleather Principle. And for those of you that get the Janet Jackson reference, you're my favorite people out there. So, highlights, lowlights, what did you think of the runway?
I liked a lot of them. I'm going to be honest right now, I'm blanking on a couple. But I mean, obviously the ones that stood out, I think Monet's, that chocolate look.
It was a butt crack.
Torso. It was.
Did you notice the butt crack?
Yes.
I didn't notice it until I saw her post it and she was like, did y'all see the ass crack? And I was like, that the detail. Oh, so good.
And it looked so good on her. The color of it. It was perfection. I loved Raj's look. Like that, the way that they did the pleather to make it look almost like this like frilly flapper dress going down the front. And then the jacket she's wearing where it's like the gloves are a part of the jacket. It was just so cool and something that like, because it's on Raja, it's infinitely better. Mm-hmm. And then I loved Jinx's interpretation of it, doing the My Fair Lady in pleather. And all I could think was, it looks beautiful. It's perfect for Jinx. And I know that bitch is hot as hell in that. Like, she's sweating like a pig underneath all that. I'm blinking on some of the other looks, but what were some of yours?
Jada doing that very Aaliyah, Queen of the Damned, Matrix mashup vibe.
Yeah. I loved it. Really, she kept calling it. She kept calling it 90s. That's what it kept annoying me about. I was like, no, girl, that's early 2000s. I understand. It was close. But
yeah,
that was my only thing that kept getting annoyed.
Well, I mean, technically, The Matrix is 99. And that was more the inspiration. But it was also a little Blade. It felt a little Blade. It felt a little Matrix. It felt a little Queen of the Damned. So super late 90s, like 98 to like 2002, 2003-ish.
Yes. On that cusp.
But I thought she looked fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, I thought she looked great. I hated Trinity's outfit. It did not read pleather to me in the slightest.
Hey, Pat, remind me what Trinity wore because I'm blanking on it. She's one of the ones I can't remember.
So remember Monet's tracksuit look? Just imagine it like kind of clouds.
Vaguely remembering this, but yeah, nope.
You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything at all.
This was one of those where the challenge carried her. Got it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was not it for me at all. Mm. Not saying that she looked bad per se. I just didn't feel like it really read for the challenge well. But yeah, I love Jinx's interpretation of it. It was very Jinxed.
Okay.
Did you find a picture of Trinity's look?
Yes. Okay. Right. Yeah. No, I hated that too. Okay. Yep. We're here. Not good.
Yeah, that was not it for me. But yeah, and they were all hot as motherfucking hell on that runway, having to walk in those outfits. I feel so bad for, like, I mean, at least, yeah, Monet had a little bit of a ventilation where
the shoulders.
It could come out the armpit area and come up the top, but can you just imagine how, I'm going to use the word, moist they must have been wearing those outfits?
I know. Oh, God. And just, they probably had to peel each other out of them.
I think it was on Untucked. Shay talked about wearing pleather for the All-Stars talent show extravaganza, whatever they were calling it in AS5. And when she did the stripper, the strip pole dance, and she talked about how she was sweating so much it was rolling down her leg that it looked like she had peed, like she would pee herself. Yeah, pleather is not a friend to anybody.
Mm-mm. I do want to call out Shay's Catwoman look. I liked the idea of it. It wasn't my favorite of them all.
It was like 85-90% of the way there for me. Like, there was some, if it, some modifications had been made, it probably would have been better.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool as well. Like, I mean, it harkens. Okay. So I'll be honest, and this isn't because she's my friend, nor because I was her manager for a hot minute. But I see that, and I think Kylie.
Kylie, yeah.
Because if you haven't seen Kylie, when I say Kylie, I don't mean Minogue. I mean Sonique Love, All-Star 6 winner. But she has Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman tattooed on her shoulder.
Yeah.
And she's done looks that are in that vein. So when I see something like that, I instantly think of Kylie. Not saying that it didn't work on Shay. I just think there could have been some things that might have been tweaked or changed. But I love that she had the fucking whip and she went out there. I love that they had to add in post the crack, the whip crack in there. Yeah.
I also, Evie's like anime look, I completely forgot about this with the inflatable hair. Like, I liked the concept. I don't know that the execution was as good as she thought it was.
Yeah. Like, I was very neutral on it. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It was just kind of there.
Yeah. The funniest thing for me was the one judge, which was like this weird, like austere older woman. And she's like, I love anime. I love comic book stuff. And I was just like, really? Because I would not have seen that from how you're carrying yourself and talking right now. Just kind of tickled me every time she was critiquing the girls. Well, I love anime. And I'm just like, uh-huh.
I don't know who she is.
I don't something either. Guinness.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was
I'm awful. Apparently not fashion forward enough to know who this person is. Daphne Guinness was her name. I knew Guinness was involved in her name, but her phone. She's an English socialite and fashion designer.
Yeah, just
Daphne Diana Jones Susanna Guinness.
That's an English ass name.
that is a name. Yeah. Anywho. But overall, not a bad runway. I think for the most part, successfully done. So
they promptly all changed out of the leather looks and got into comfortable looks to come back on that stage for the lip sync. I don't think a one was in their pleather look when they came back out.
It's funny because I don't think I noticed it as much in the first episode, or I wasn't really paying attention as much.
Yeah.
But they don't announce, there's no tops and bottoms before they go back to untucking the workroom. So I didn't realize that they don't know who the fuck is potentially lip syncing.
Yeah.
It can be any one of the eight.
Yeah.
So they all kind of, if they think they're potentially up at the top, they change. This time around, they were all like, okay, let's go back. And if you watch Untucked for this season, which, I mean, granted, Untucked lately, there's less drama, there's less fighting. It's kind of an eh. Every season, the whole, if you're not watching Untucked, you're only getting half the story, becomes so completely untrue. Mm-hmm. I'm at the point where it's like, if you're not watching Untucked, you're getting 95% of the story. Here's the other five. Like, yeah. It's just really not much else. But this was the one where they, I forget which one of them said that they were changing back into their Snatch Game look. I think it might have been Evie. And then Shay was like, should I just go back out? Or maybe somebody, maybe it was Shay who was like, should I just go back out as Miss J? And then Monet changed into her Shanae look. And I think Evie changed into some other look, but it might have been, whatever it was. Like, they were all like, I was like, why are there Snatch Game characters on the stage? And then I watched the Untucked episode and I was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, yes, they all were getting out of their pleather look. Although Viv put on this like sexy dominatrix pleather look. And I was like, I'm not mad. Like, this is a cute look.
Yeah.
She's probably like, still hot as balls.
I'm wearing it.
Right? Right? So Rue announces that our top two all-stars of the week, our top two legendary legends, legendy legends, legendarily legendy legends, are obviously Jinx Monsoon. They all even called it in the workroom. They're like, I mean, you fucking, like, that's it. Like, you are top. Like, there is no question about that.
Yeah.
But the second top legendy, legendary, legendary, legendary legends was Trinity the Tuck, who has been blocked, so she does not receive a legendary legend star. So now it is Monet 1, Shay 1, Jinx 1, Trinity, and the rest of the girls 0. They lip sync to Rumor Has It by Adele. I guess they figured we have a British guest judge. We'll throw a British singer up there. I don't know. Maybe could have made it a K-pop song, a little anime number for you, and Daphne Guinness would have been all about it. What did you think of the lip sync?
It was fine. It was not the most exciting lip sync. I feel like of the two, I feel like Jinx dressed for it weirdly. Like, it felt like the most Adele looking outfit. especially in that era, because that's when she had like the big kind of hairdo up to. So like, yeah, I don't know. It was fine. I do think Jinx won it. I don't think Trinity was necessarily paired correctly with the song. And so, yeah, when it all shook out and Jinx was the winner, I was like, okay, yeah, sure. Go for it.
My favorite tweet that I read about this lip sync or this episode was somebody who wrote, after that Snatch Game performance, Jinx could have stood there doing nothing and still been announced the winner of this episode.
Yeah.
It was that good. And no doubt about it, Jinx is declared the winner, gets her $10,000 hairs and the power to block. The only person she cannot block is Trinity the Tuck, because that is also part of the rules. You cannot block the other top all-star. She saunters around the stage and decides to block who?
Shay Coulee.
Shay Coulee. Yes. Mm-hmm. Shay is now blocked from winning a Legendary Legends star next week in... whatever challenge. I feel like I watched the next time on Drag Race, but I don't remember if I remember what the challenge is, so it's something
either. Yes. I'm curious, what do you think of the whole top, like, we kind of glossed over it, but the talk about who to block, what your strategy is going for it, because like Shay has been like, oh well, I'm only gonna block people I think that are weaker in the challenges. Whereas like Jinx was straight up was like, no, I'm blocking people who already have stars because I'm keeping them from getting more of them. What did you think of all that?
So I think that, I think the whole, I'm going to block somebody who's weaker is bullshit. First off.
Mm-hmm.
Second off, you're on a season of all winners. So unless you know what challenge is coming up next, it makes it really difficult. And maybe they do know. Maybe they know the rundown of who, like, of what challenges are coming in what order. Or even if it's just like, hey, this next one is the ball. Oh, I think that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
I think it's the ball challenge next week. Yes. I think there was a scene where she's like, well, at least I blocked one of the people who can sew or something like that.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if they knew that Snatch Game was next, I don't know why you wouldn't have taken out Jinx. But at the same time, Trinity did really well in hers also. So you can't fire multiple shots. You can only fire a single shot. So I think that the whole weakest player is bullshit. And they even called that out on Shay right away. Yeah. Why would you block somebody who doesn't have a chance of winning a star then? Like, why would you put it against somebody who is weaker? Yeah. But then you have the two different sides of the coin. You have, I'm going to go with strong competition and take it as a compliment, a badge of honor that I'm blocking you because I think you're a challenge competitor. But then you have Jinx's side of it where not only is it somebody who's strong, but from a statistics standpoint, I'm going to block somebody that has a star already because if you win another star, you are now going to be even farther ahead of me. I think either of those two strategies are the way to go. And in a situation where you're not necessarily eliminating a queen, it should not face as much backlash. As much as I love Monet, I will call out the fact of like, I would really hope that if, and I'm sure she will eventually get blocked, she's doing really well, that she does not pull that shit of, I'm going to come after you, I'm going to be mad, I'm going to be, you know, team petty like she was in AS4.
God, yeah.
Although I will say this, I bought the sticker. It's on my old laptop. She had stickers that were a lipstick tube, the All-Stars lipstick tube, and it just says petty on it. And I was like, I mean, I'm here for the drama. But in this type of situation, it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
So I hope that it's... I hope that if it happens, it's played a little bit more in a lighter vein, which in this cast of girls, I think would be the way it would go.
Yeah, I mean, we had Trinity doing her little like, damn you, cries every time. So I think they're in on the joke to a certain extent. So I agree.
Or when Jinx was announced the winner and she's like, well, shit. Like, yes. Yeah, that was funny.
I'm curious, is there anything you're looking forward to from this cast or that you want to see from them, like any specific challenges, you know, any like kind of mashups?
I don't know. I mean, Snatch Game is obviously the big thing that we were all looking forward to. Mm-hmm. They've done a song now. They, you know, I don't think there's anything in particular that I can think of that I'd be like, oh my God, oh, the talent show. Yeah. That's what I want to see. And I know that's later this season. They kind of changed it around. But I think there's going to be, like, I think they're going to have to do two talents. Like, one of the themes that'll run through this season is they're going to make it harder.
To do,
not necessarily harder, but they're going to ask more of these girls to kind of get them to showcase more.
Yeah.
And I've heard rumor and conjecture through the spoiler threads that there will be points where... this is not necessarily like big spoilery, but there may be challenges where things will happen that will have the potential for a queen to win more than one legendary legend star in that challenge.
So this is truly RuPaul's Drag Race Mario Party edition.
Oh yeah. Oh my God. Could you imagine if they could steal fucking stars?
Mm-hmm. Oh no. I wish that was a mechanic. I want to see just, I said earlier this queen, I didn't care for her, but let the Vivian win some money just once. Give her $10,000. Let her feel like she wants something.
Oh my God. Could you only imagine fucking Vivian when RuPaul announces that there's badges?
Yeah,
like,
I know.
They should have gone to her face and had her just been like, you motherfucker. You flew me all the way over to this goddamn country and go give me some more motherfucking badges. I got badges, bitch.
They
are giving out money left and right.
I know.
Mini challenges are getting cash prizes because Jinx is now the most moneyest winning queen of the season at $12,500.
Yeah,
I believe is her total right now. She won $2,500 in the reading challenge and $10,000 for the win. And Shay is in second with $10,000 for her first episode win. So I'm excited to see how this plays out. Joel, thank you for being my guest on this RuCap episode. This was a last minute thing, but watching this premiere two episode double extravaganza, I was just like, I have to. Like, we have to do this. I wish. I mean, Oral is living his motherfucking best life right now. and I miss doing my recaps with him weekly. But I want to feel like Monet slash Bob slash Trixie and pit stop this bitch. And we're going to get some new voices. We'll rotate out. I'm sure I will be messaging you and being like, let's talk about some Drag Race. I don't know that many people. I don't have that many friends. But dear listeners, get ready for some more Drag Race talk. All-Star 7, all winners, All-Star Edition. The legendariest of legendary, legendary queens, legendary queens, we're going to be talking about them all season long. So check back. We're going to drop these on Thursdays. So that way you can hear what we say, what we felt about the week prior before the new episode comes out. So check it out. FlameOnShow.com, patreon.com/FlameOnShow is where you can join at any one of our four levels. One more time, thank you again, Joel. Thank you all out there for listening. And before we go, tell them where they can find you. I'm a bad host.
No, you're good. You can find me online on most social media at ThespisPunk. That's ThespisPunk. And also check out my podcast, May the Power Protect You, a podcast where me and my friend Kevin talk about Power Rangers with news, merchandise updates, and comic reviews and TV show reviews. Come listen to two gays gab about Power Rangers.
Love it. Go check out Joel online. Check out his podcast. And we'll be back with some more podcast goodness in your ears very soon. Bye, Beatrice.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.